Thanks for joining me here tonight. I know it has probably been a pretty long day for everyone. Lots of great sessions from everyone here throughout the week. I hope you're learning a lot. I know I've been able to sit in on a couple of them and learned a lot of stuff that I hadn't actually, known or really thought about before. So that was kind of cool for me too. I kind of come from a little bit of an insular world when it comes to market analysis and trading. I started trading in the mid-1990s. There wasn't a lot out there as far as technical analysis educational material. It was all kind of like buy a 5-day pullback into moving average support. Technical analysis has been around for ages, but the floor was still really active back at the time. And of course, fundamental analysis is what a lot of people were using. And so I kind of developed my own system of technical analysis, and a lot of it that you will see now overlaps with many of the other styles of market analysis that you guys have probably already studied, like things like Elliott Wave. Don't do exactly the same thing, but you'll see a lot of overlap. And I wasn't too interested in Forex when I first started trading. The Forex market really wasn't a great venue for online traders. There was a lot of fraud, there was a lot of irregularity in prices from one place to the next. And it just didn't, it wasn't a great market until about maybe 8 to 10 years later is when we started seeing things pick up. So I came to Forex with a strong background in stocks and futures already and trading those markets. And luckily, the system that I developed doesn't really have a bias as far as what market I was trading or what time frame I was trading, because at the core, I'm relying upon price action. And one of the really strong tools that we can use when it comes to understanding price action, no matter what market you guys are trading, is Fibonacci. Now, there's a lot of people that love Fibonacci. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, it's so bogus. And you're going to hear people that are going to be on all sides of it. My thoughts are that when it comes to any type of indicator you're using, there's certain circumstances in which it works really well, and other circumstances in which you really need to leave it alone and kind of ignore it. But it's all part of a bigger picture. So what I want to share with you is a way that you can use Fibonacci to kind of help give you that edge that you need in your trading. And that edge often means developing confidence in your triggers. And that's where a lot of people will kind of second guess themselves, and then they'll end up being too late for a trade, they'll miss a trade, and it just ends up being all around bad. So if you have something that can give you that extra confidence behind you, that's great. And that can come in the form of many different indicators. But when people start to use too many, it's basically analysis paralysis. You have so many things going on your charts that you've lost track of what's really happening with the price action. Now, Fibonacci tools in the market, they come in many different forms. You're going to see expansion tools, you're going to see retracement tools, extension tools, all different sorts. And I'm going to touch upon some of those here in a minute. But what they are is that they are tools that even if you put them at totally different levels than I might have put them, you're still often ending up with overlapping levels. It's kind of interesting. So I might have something that might be hitting 100% extension based upon how I drew it, and you might have drawn it a little differently and ended up with a 76.4% extension. And they're both hitting the same type of support or resistance and giving you that extra confidence in that support and resistance, even though you might have done it a little differently. So you can kind of bugger them, and they're still going to give you strong indications of key zones to act. So many of the time-tested trading systems that, they still fail individuals because they don't have that confidence to implement them properly. For example, profiting from a trading range breakout. This is probably one of the first types of strategies most traders are familiar with. It's just a trading channel or a zone of congestion, and you're taking a breakout from that zone of congestion. But it's not as easy as just taking a breakout from a zone of congestion. How do you know you're not too early? Or how do you know that congestion has gone too long that now it's most likely to fail, that it can actually trigger a break one direction and go and fail and turn around the other direction. This is where some of the Fibonacci tools can come into play and give you an idea of, hey, this is lower risk and this is higher risk. And what they can do is, if you're flipping between different time frames and things like that, they can still help you keep those zones in perspective. So how do we determine what instincts we have in trading are actually valid? And this is where some of those indicators come into play. So when it comes to Fibonacci, I've found that when I'm helping newer traders out, and the traders that I work with one-on-one, they range from complete beginner to those that are managing hedge funds. And so I'm really working with a huge range of different types of traders experiencing all different kinds of challenges, but there's so much overlap in what those challenges are that Fibonacci is something that I've found everybody can use. They don't have to be just a newbie or a really advanced trader. In fact, over time, you'll start to get the feel for where different Fibonacci levels are going to play out, even if you don't draw them. This is something I like to do as kind of like a parlor trick with a lot of my traders. I'll be like, oh yeah, this is at the 61.8% and XYZ. And sure enough, it'll be exactly at that price because you get used to it. You get used to the feel for them. So there's so much versatility out there. Fibonacci, for those of you that are completely new, is basically just a sequence of numbers. You know, it's the sum, each number is the sum of the previous two. So like 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, so on and so forth. And after those first couple of numbers, there's these interesting relationships that happen within those numbers. And a lot of people think, oh, human nature and even just nature in general have patterns that fall along the lines of Fibonacci. And now, whether you believe that or not, I don't really care. You know, I grew up with Fibonacci from an artist's perspective, you know, looking at things like that. But it's really hard for somebody to refute that Fibonacci works in the markets, because if you are using it the way I'm going to share with you, it just works so, so well. So here's some of the most powerful numbers that we will use in our indicators when we're applying indicators to different stocks or securities or Forex. It doesn't really matter, again, what you're trading. So I'm going to use Forex examples here. Most of you guys today are trading Forex, but I know a lot of you are probably trading other markets as well. So you're going to be able to take everything I talk about here and you'll be able to apply it to every single market. And what I want to do is not just give you like basic generalized ideas about, hey, this is what Fibonacci is, but I also want to show you specific strategies and teach you those strategies so that you can walk away with something that you can actually go and apply after today's session. So these are the different Fibonacci levels that you will see me use in my trading. And we can even go and put the negative numbers in here as well. So like negative 23.6, negative 38.2. The ones in orange are not used as often, but I will use them in things like Fibonacci fans to help give me like a zone of support or resistance. So you'll see it on that. Now, here's the main Fibonacci indicators that you guys will see on your platforms. And not every trading platform has all of these. And some of them are set up a little bit differently than others. So one might give you, especially with like a time extension, TradeStation might say that something is a 300% extension, and maybe NinjaTrader tells you it's 200. But don't get too wrapped up in that. Just pay attention to the basics. So the core ones we're going to start with are Fibonacci retracements. This is probably what most of you are familiar with. How many of you don't ever use Fibonacci in any of your analysis whatsoever? I'm always curious about this question because, like I said at the beginning, you know, so many times Fibonacci kind of gets like this rap where people think of it as like a pseudoscience. And the way I look at it is that if something is working over and over again, then it's worth looking at. It's not something I used when I first started trading. Val says it seems really overwhelming. Okay, well, hopefully I'm going to simplify it. So Tushar, there's a lot of platforms that use Fibonacci that provide it, lots of software. So things like a NinjaTrader, Thinkorswim, TradeStation, all of these are going to have the basic Fibonacci tools. Now, how much is available depends upon each of the platforms. I'll show you on Ninja a trader how to use a couple of these here as we go forward. So I'm going to start off with Fibonacci retracements. The two that we're going to really talk about here today are going to be the Fibonacci retracements and Fibonacci extensions. So we also have fans and arcs. You'll find me use fans, that I use fans a lot too, especially for timing those trading range breakouts. And if we've got time, I'll show you a couple of examples of that. I've got some traders that I put on some trades here today using them that I can show you their trades too. So I'm going to switch on over here and I'm going to look at the peso. And I'm going to pull up the 60-minute chart of the peso for you guys. And I've got to make sure I've got my right tool here so I can use my mouse. Okay, so go on over here. So I have one trader in particular. He trades the peso all the time. He's always asking me what's going on the peso. And it's had some really nice action over the last couple of weeks. So one of the tools that we will use with Fibonacci is called a Fibonacci retracement. So I'm going to kind of scroll over here. And a Fibonacci retracement here in NinjaTrader, you'll go up to this little pencil type of tool here, come down here to the retracement. It'll look like these nice sideways type of lines. Now this is an uptrend, upswing here. So to add the Fibonacci retracement on that, we go from the low to the high. And this one's nice and simple because we got good pivots each way. What's really interesting when we're coming back and going against a trend is that when it comes into the 76.4% retracement, there's so many times that it will hold that level really well, especially if it's a nice solid move to the downside without any correction. We'll often get really good reactions off of that zone. In this case, it pushes through it a little bit more, but notice that it ends up going into this channel here between 76.4 and the 61.8. So that's telling me it's still holding the 76.4% zone. Now, in this case, this typically wouldn't give me a trigger for a trade on this, but it shows you how these levels can continue to serve as support and resistance even when new trends can form. So like up to the 50% retracement here, coming back up. Now, we're going to talk about momentum here in a minute, but first I just want to show you how to put these on here. Now, when you're looking at, let's see here, I'm going to put this on the downside move now because that's where the setup started to form. So what we ended up seeing is this nice inverse V here. The larger time frames were on the more bearish side, which is also why we didn't get as much of a reaction here, but it would have done it off of the 76.4 on the upside. Let me put that one on there too so you guys can see that. So here's the one on the upside. So see how it hits that 76.4 almost exactly. Now, since this kind of shifts momentum, we're starting to get more of a bias for breakdown setup. But how do you time when to take that breakdown? So there's a couple of things we can look at. With the retracement off of the low into the 76.4, you can look for reversal strategies up at that point. But then as things congest and momentum begins to shift, momentum being a really key, important word here, the momentum or the pace of change in a security, when that starts to shift, that's when we really want to start to look for additional setup. So one of the easiest trades for a lot of traders to do is a break out of a zone of congestion or a continuation play on a trend that's already started. This would be considered pivot trading up here. And I do a lot of that, but it's easier for traders to do continuation type of trades when they're newer. So Fibonacci retracements can be really good for helping identify and give you those low risk opportunities to get into it. So what we would need to do then is to look for continuations on the downside. Once we're starting to see this momentum begin to shift with the slower overall upside channel, which we can see here, and we can kind of get a feel for that by just going and transecting or cutting through the middle of this impulse wave here and then cutting through the middle of that upside channel. That tells us what the momentum is. So with a move here, notice how it's holding kind of the lower half of this drop here. Now, specifically, what we want to go in is we want to look at this particular move. That is going to be the most crucial for timing this as a trigger for a short side. Now, a couple of other things to look at here when we're looking at a downside move. If we're looking at the lows, this low to hypothetically where we can get a break here, the closer you have this to 100% time extension here, the easier it is for that to give a really solid rapid break. And if it doesn't go at that point, then that's telling me, I really need to start start looking at reversal strategies going the other way. That's what happened in the market today on the NASDAQ. If we get a time, I'll pull that up here in the NASDAQ too. So usually this pivot here is going to correspond with a 161.8% time extension. So time extension is one particular type of extension. We're going to go here, this low to this low to down. Now, this is coming into that 161.8. It tells me in this zone, that's a good spot to really look for some confirmation on the short side. But how do we know which high in here is going to be the best for that confirmation? So let's go and look at the details on that just a little bit tighter here. And this is where our retracements are going to come into play. I know I'm giving you guys a lot of details here. So just try to jot down some notes and pick up some of the best ones you can think of here and whichever ones you can catch. And you can always, you know, ask me for more details later on too if you want to continue learning more about the strategies that I trade using Fibonacci. So here's that last portion of that downside. So for really timing and starting to get that downside move here, to get the strongest downside move, remember what I said, it needs to come into around the 161.8% time extension. But we also want this to hold under the 50% retracement level. So here is a nice two-wave move up. So two-wave trend correction, that's something you Elliott waivers are probably familiar with. You're looking for two-way counter trend move. What we see with that trend move is that each of these waves is approximately the same size. So with a nice solid two-wave move up, that's really useful to help get a setup going on the downside. We don't always know how that setup is going to unfold. So this could have gone into, for example, a head and shoulders into that 161.8%. In this case, it tries to break down a little bit early. So what this tells me is that, it didn't make it to the time extension that I would ideally want for a breakdown, where we're looking at two lows and trying to go for a third low, which hopefully will break that range. It can still give me a setup earlier, but it means that that breakdown could be stunted, that the overall momentum might not be as strong as it was over here once we get that continuation going. So we're seeing a couple of things here with regard to Fibonacci. Now, as this comes into the 50% retracement, 50% is a very, very important level, because if it goes past that 50% retracement, this low here becomes a much more solid support level. So ideally, your strongest continuations on the downside will pull up, for example, to like a 23.6, then to the 38.2, and then it might do another shoulder over here back into the 23.6, but it's holding under that 50%. At 50%, it's kind of either or. Sometimes it's going to stall a little bit at that previous low for a little bit before it tries to continue, and sometimes it won't. If it's the first retest of that low, there's a better chance that it's going to stall there. We can even see that actually if we go up to that larger time frame, kind of squish this up here. See how this is coming back into that previous low zone? Well, this had pulled up, like we saw, 76.4% of this drop over here. So when it came back down to that level, especially with a little bit of a slower momentum move, it was able to hold that zone better. So really important to understand that over 50%, previous low becomes a stronger support level. It's going to be harder to break. So if you're looking for a trading range and a continuation, then you want something that's going to be hugging down in that lower half. Now, since this pulls back really steep to this previous low here, and we don't have that extra extension yet, this can give me a heads up that, you know what, at this point, it might even go out further to get to the 200% before it drops. That's a possibility too, where it basically does the same pattern and plays it out on a smaller time frame, where this move, you would then want to hold under the 50% of this move. Now, the ones that will give us kind of a faster continuation will be when it comes up first into like the 38.2, comes back down, then comes up to the 23.6. This is something I call a check mark. It basically looks like an inverse square root sign, and you can get a really strong breakdown on that. But again, you want it holding under that 50%. And then over here, since it's wave two, it doesn't matter as much if that holds under the 50%, but it's ideal if it does. So the first one is the strongest for a retest, most likely to hold. The next time around, it's easier and easier to break. Yeah, you've got a wedge forming. Exactly, Josh. So other things to watch for as this is happening is volume. If your volume is dropping first on this move, and then if it does a second move here, especially on that second move, that's going to give you a really good incentive for the short side too. And it's going to be harder for some of you day traders. You've got to focus on the time frame charts. And of course, with different market hours in different countries and things overlapping, different sessions, the volume can be a little bit trickier. So it can be more helpful to look at it either on a daily time frame or if you're looking at a smaller intraday time frame. Now, let's go see how this plays out here. So it ends up holding that previous low. Here's our 61.8, which if it breaks the previous low, it's better to have a setup after that point. So look at this. See how this pushes out here? So here's kind of the key zone where it's easier for this to give a full breakout if it goes between the 61.8 and the 200% here. And notice how it's holding that 23.6% retracement now at this point. So it hits the 50% first, 23.6% second. So far, so good. It's holding there. It's an avalanche. Exactly, Ori. He is familiar with my terminology. So this particular section here is something that I call an avalanche. And it was just a random name I gave to the strategy, 20 years ago, I think, where basically because it can go and gain momentum on the downside. It's the first main continuation of a trend. So we also even have a little bitty head and shoulders trying to form in there. Now what we want to see is we've got the retracement at great levels. We want to see it going at that 200%. Now, if you pulled up the NASDAQ today, I shorted something in the NASDAQ. Let me show you this. I know you guys aren't necessarily NASDAQ traders, but I want you guys to see this anyway, because it really explains the pattern too and shows you how it can apply to any market. This is the ES. I'm going to flip it over to the NASDAQ. I like you guys to see what I'm actually doing, that can help you understand better. I mean, even here on the ES, see how this pulls up more than about 50%, probably around to 61.8% of this draw. So when it comes to that previous low, it reacts off of that previous low. So it doesn't push down and break through it as easily right away. So here's our NASDAQ. Let me just show you here. So this is a short I took on the NASDAQ. I was looking for a downside move here. And you'll notice that we had this kind of rounding off here where it's kind of going into this widening wedge. And so at this point, we had that two-wave correction. Now, let me put that retracement on here. So you go from the high to the low. Look at how much this has retraced. I'll widen this up so you guys can see it even better. And if I go silent for a second, you guys, it's just because I don't want to cough in your ears. I've been dealing with this cough for a while now. Don't worry, COVID test was negative, but still don't want to blow out anybody's eardrums. So what we're looking at here is that this is coming up off of this low. Here's the 50%. It's kind of pushing through it. And on the second one, it almost tests that 76 or that 61.8% there. I'm going to grab a drink here just one second. Okay, so what we're seeing is that this pulls up to that 61.8%. Well, what did I tell you guys? What does that mean for this as a channel breakdown? What's the extra risk now? Anyone want to take a guess? Under 50% is the best. If it pulls up more than 50%, then that prior low is going to have that risk of having a much more difficult time breaking. So I shorted this up here, but then I used an advanced trade management technique where I took off partials, I added back in, I took off partials, and then I used a trailing stop on the rest. Still gave it a little bit of room to try to plan out, but look at the time development. What do you see on this time development? This tells me, hey, you know what? This is a trade. My odds are not in my favor anymore at this point. Time development. Let me show you that. See that time extension there? So I needed to see this breaking down. It gave me the triggers. Great. It held that 61.8. That's where I was, building into positions at. Here's the 200%. I need to see this giving me confirmation at that 200% level. I need smaller continuation patterns at that point. It goes past that 200%. That's telling me, uh-oh, I got some problems. So I need to tighten up how I manage the rest of that trade, because now my chances of it failing are much higher. Now it could still break down lower, but it would probably double this congestion over to here before I would try again. So then it would treat this as one low, two lows, and then three lows over there. As you can see, if I had held on to that, it would have stopped out of the rest. But because of how I managed it in here, even if I had taken a complete stop on this, I still would have ended up on a gain on this position because I'm using these resistance levels. One of the nice things here is that we also had a 76.4% Fibonacci fan right there. That's another one of those Fibonacci tools. So pretty awesome how so many of these things will come into play all together. Josh, how did you put that 100%, 200% line? Yeah, let me show you that. I'm going to erase that. So these are time extensions. And I kind of get going on one topic, you guys. And I was talking to David here before session. I'm like, so how long do I have that I can teach them stuff? And he's like, well, technically it's 55 minutes, but but you're last, so do whatever you want. Like, okay, well, that's kind of a dangerous thing to say to me, but any questions you guys have, go ahead and post them, because I'd love to help you guys be able to make sure you're able to apply this stuff. So this is a time extension. Let me remove the Fibonacci retracement. Ooh, and look at how that went right up to that 76.4% again. See that? So 76.4%, when you're retracing against a trend and it doesn't have much for corrections on the way back up, you'll usually get a bigger correction at that point. And that's exactly what we see happening here again. So it gives me a heads up there. All right, so I'm going to remove this and put that time extension on again. So I'm going to Fibonacci time extension. So I'm going from this first low to the second low. Now that green line in there, that tells me, you know what, any setup I take after that point is going to have the best timing to give me a strong breakout. If I get a setup that triggers before that, I could end up getting flushed with like a higher high before it really turns around. So that's why that time extension is there. And it's the 161.8. And again, on different platforms, it might be a little bit different. So one of them might say, oh, it's a 61.8% extension because it's taking this as one and then pushing it through that. So it just depends upon what trading platform you're just going with the main concept here. All right, so let's flip this over. I'm going to go back to our Forex here now and show you some of the other ways that we can use this. And I'm gonna go back and cover more of these questions you have too. So one of you asked about the Kiwi. So I can pull that up too. We'll just get through this material and then get to that one. So the other tool that I want you guys to be familiar with is a Fibonacci extension, which is also really great for helping us with these breakdowns because they help give us target levels. So on this, for example, a Fibonacci extension, I'm using a 3-point extension. So a 3-point extension means I'm going from the high of an impulse move to a low of an impulse move to a high of where I'm looking for the extension to start or the continuation of that impulse. So in something where you get an immediate follow through, you're going to be looking typically for a target that is 100% of this. So we would go up here and down here as an initial target zone. Now, since this went installed at that 100% or at that previous low there, we can go and use the second pivot to help us look for an adjusted target level. So normally this 100% is going to be a really strong target zone. Let me show you an example. So I can do that example on this exact same chart. And this will help me determine, you know, do I need to adjust targets? Can I get a little bit more? Can I get a little bit less? So if we're looking at just that last portion here, notice that this ends up giving me exactly that 100% extension right there. We see a little bit of a stall at the 50% and then makes it to that 100%. Now this 50% is also really important. It's easier if this makes it to the 61.8 on this first drop, then that's the best guarantee that it's going to make it to the 100%. So it might stop at 61.8, pull up to 38.2, and then go to that 100%. This stops at the 50%, which is not ideal. In this case, it worked because it hugged that 50%, but it also can be a little bit problematic. So in this case, we've got the bigger trend working well in our favor. If we didn't have that bigger time frame set up also working out, this could tell you that it could struggle getting to that 100% extension. And then I would be looking for 76.4% as a target instead, and will usually be the smaller measured move in here. So you can watch that smaller measured move to give you adjusted target levels as well, using a smaller 3-point extension. And this continues here into this afternoon. We saw this. Let me go back to my mouse here. This is something you can use on basically every single breakdown. Now, I'm doing something a little bit differently on this one though. See how this one only had like a 2-wave move up here, and then it kind of had a steady trend to the downside? This has a 2-wave correction. So this isn't the absolute high of that congestion, that correction. It's the second high. So when something goes out and I have a clear second high, I'm going from the move that actually starts the impulse wave for the breakdown. That's going to be what I'm going to be using most of the time. And so that gives me that perfect 100% extension here that we saw shortly before the end of the day today. So really good tool to use. Very, very great on breakouts, but it's not something that you can use just by itself. You also have to pay attention to something called, we just showed extensions, momentum. So you've heard me talk about momentum a couple of times already. Now, what momentum is just the rate of change, like why, how the pace of the market is changing compared to how it was in the past. And that's just a really simple definition. I used to call it pace way back when I first started teaching it. It always shocked me because some of the first places I was teaching this were at the Traders Expos back in the 90s. Tim Berkwin and his gang was running it back before the Money Show took over. And I introduced pace in some of the sessions, and basically nobody had any idea what pace or momentum was and how important it was. And yet it's one of those things that, like, hey, the sky is blue. You know, once you see it and start thinking about it, it's really hard to not recognize it. There's tons of indicators based on momentum, but you want to be able to look at a chart and have a good idea of what that momentum is without having to put an indicator on your chart. Because again, we don't want to clutter up our charts too much. So a really good way to judge what an average momentum move is in a chart is to go and look at areas where you kind of have V action. And you want to see a lot of overlap on one side of that V with a few smaller impulse waves inside of it. So candlestick traders, you would call them more Bozu candlesticks in the middle of that. But mostly a lot of dojis or things that are overlapping within that whole move up. And that's going to give you a good feel for what an average move in that security is. So it's just kind of a little trick. So don't rely on angle. Angle's going to change as your charts change. Use that trick and that's going to give you the best idea. So when we're looking at momentum, slower momentum moves tend to lead to faster momentum reactions. Faster momentum moves are going to tend to lead to slower reactions. Now, J here, this is where we would want to see that holding in the lower 50% of I to give us a breakdown. We would want to see the pivots in J hit the 23.6, 38.2, sometimes 50% retracement, but we don't really want them to go above that 50% retracement. Now, there are exceptions to this pattern, you guys. This is called another type of avalanche. And as you can see, the range over here was kind of wider to start with. It's something I call a shallow avalanche. I'll give you an idea of one exception, but don't get too hung up on it. Basically, if you have a slower start off of your high and then it shifts again, that's the one time I don't mind if that goes above 50% when I'm looking at a continuation, because that's usually going to break down really fast. Don't have time to dive into that here today, but it is something to watch out. Now, to enter the trades, let me show you, this is one of the questions you guys have. Let me show you one example. I'm going to use a Fibonacci retracement. Hold on, I'm just going to scroll up here back in my channel. You can see some of these people talking about their trades. So here, this is a chart from one of my traders, Nicole. And this is that breakdown that I took over here on the MQ. Now, what you'll see is that she has this fan on here. What she did was she lined up a 61.8% Fibonacci fan with that first pivot high. That gives you 76.4. That's the zone you want to do those shorts at. So other things that you're looking at are time development. See this correction here compared to over here? Same amount of time. That tells me that's also a key zone. Head and shoulders. You would want the time difference between these highs to also be about the same. That's another thing you can use that time extension tool for with the Fibonacci tool. So there's so many things that we can use to really pinpoint and nail that retracement. And it's that 61.8%, remember, of this drop here. So it was that retracement level, as well as the fan level, as well as the time extension level, as well as the time extension from the bottom too. So all of those things are kind of lining up. So let's go back here to momentum. I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit. So Fibonacci and momentum. If we're looking at a slower move, A, this pullback here in A, we want that to be in the upper 50% of this initial upside move. Now, if this breaks out here and the momentum of that breakout is the same as it is over here, then we're going to be looking for that 100% extension target using that Fibonacci tool. Now, if it's slower, like it is from C and up, then I'm usually going to be looking for a 76.4% Fibonacci extension as a target. And we could even drop drop down and look for like two waves in here and measure those more tightly too. But the odds are then that the 76.4 has a better chance of hitting. Now let's say it goes faster than over here. Then my initial target is usually going to be 123.6% extension. So that momentum as it breaks out of that range determines which of those three target levels I'm going to use to begin with. Now things might change and progress as the trade is underway that I might shift my target afterwards, but that gives me my initial target level is, and that initial level is going to hit most of the time. So if you use that very simple three basic rules there, slower, go for 76.4% extension. Same momentum, go for 100% extension. Faster momentum, go for 123.6% extension. That's going to give you your best target levels. Josh says, only been using Fibonacci retracements. Never knew how beneficial the other Fib tools are. Oh my gosh. Yes, very much. You're missing out if you're not using the extension tools. Very, very helpful. And the Fibonacci fans. Also very, very useful. I know, wow, 40 minutes has already passed. I can't believe this. I told David, once I get going, I'm just going to kind of keep going. let's see here. So you know what? Here's a chart from the euro dollar. This is from 2014, you guys. Back, I was teaching a class back then. Look at the 100% extension right here at D. Now, you can see there's a little bit of an increase in momentum as it comes into D. So that can extend what might have been an original target at 100%. It can extend it into closer to that 123.6% zone. So pretty cool, right? Just watch that momentum. If it's hitting your 100% target with increased momentum, it can more easily continue it to 123.6. Whereas if this was slower, then it might not have made it even that far. It might have stalled at 76.4. So watch that momentum very, very clearly. Here's another example, and just it goes along with what I was talking about earlier. Look at this. See these lows here? This one, and then in here. Now, eyeballing it, you can probably tell that's about 100% extension there. This should have gone there. So this could have triggered shorts for continuation on the downside. It doesn't give that confirmation. It extends out past that. And sure enough, what happens? Bam, it pops. So this is your do or die point at that 100% extension. If it doesn't go there, just like what happened today on the NASDAQ, that can turn around. In fact, this whole move here looks really close to what we saw on the NASDAQ, doesn't it? Let me show you that NASDAQ again. Gotta find the right chart. La, da, da, da. Here we go. Sometimes I insert sound effects when I'm presenting too. I've got to work on my Jeopardy theme song one though. So look at that. See here? This is from 6 years ago, you guys, right here. Should have gone there. It's like the equivalent of this zone. Look, you even have the two waves up here. Two waves down here. Two waves down here. Two waves up. Two waves up. This one had a little bit of an extra punch to it, but it's the exact same pattern from 6 years ago. Same pattern I was trading 6 years ago. Goes too far, hence it fails. So you go and you look for your shorts here at these levels, but then you're like, uh-oh, it should have gone by now. Uh-oh, it should have gone by now, and it fails. So this is where Fibonacci time extension. It's a really simple tool. It's not going to clutter your charts up too much. You'll notice I only have several key points on here. I had that 161.8 and the 200%, and that's it. Those are the main two ones that you want to watch for. I do have 300 over here because sometimes you'll get extra pivots that'll happen at that point. So you'll see that on there with me as well. So I'm going to give you my brief little spiel here, and then I'm going to show you guys some of your questions. You've got extra questions in here. So a final comment, you guys, Fibonacci indicators, they can be used in all types of trending environments and even congestion to help traders visualize major support and resistance levels, which is basically all trading is based upon. They can be particularly useful in establishing targets on continuation strategies and can be combined with more traditional extensions. So monitor the momentum changes on smaller time frames as the expansion or extension point strike, and then compare the momentum of the developing impulse move to prior impulse moves. What that means is what I was just showing you. So if something is slower, this is your new impulse move that's starting. So if that impulse move is faster than what we saw over here, that can go more than that 100%. And pay attention to where the continuation strategy is in the larger trend. brand, because you can go up and like maybe you'll have a smaller measured move target on this breakdown. But if that's part of a bigger change breakdown, then you're really wanting to look at this extension and not just the small extension. So many times people get stuck on those tiny time frames and then they miss out on the bigger moves like we've seen over the last month, because you're going for the smaller one and not paying attention to where it is in the larger one. And that also helps you determine, hey, the larger one's mess. I don't really see a new pattern setting up. So I need to use that 100% extension or the 76.4% extension because it's more messy, which was the case today and what we've been talking about all week. So, or what I've been talking about all week. I don't know what everybody else in here has been talking about, I guess. So, all right, you guys, I want to share with you, I do a lot of courses. I make them very reasonable for newer traders to participate in, because I was that newer trader once, and back then they were charging thousands of dollars to tell me to buy a 5-day pullback into a 20 period moving average and what a candlestick was. So I want you guys to be able to learn a lot of the more advanced stuff at a price that is very affordable for even somebody that is a college student and wants to get into trading. My husband calls this like my hobby is teaching you guys, but you know what? I would not have been as good of a trader if I didn't teach as well, because they say you really understand and you really know a topic when you can explain it and explain it to a lay person. And I came into trading as a lay person. My background was art and archaeology. I worked as an archaeologist when I started trading. So not a background in finance. So the course that I want to show you is actually a boot camp, and there are 7 sessions. There's over 14 hours of material like you have in today's class, but it covers 3 specific strategies. It goes into the background of how I developed my technical analysis. It talks about time development, trend development, understanding wave counting and how momentum comes into play, and volume. It's basically putting everything together. You have lifetime access. The sessions are all on demand. You can go through it at your own pace. You can access my League of Traders forum on Telegram, which is a free forum. You can go, you can chat with some of the traders that hang out there in the day, or you can come in and ask me specific questions. Like maybe you are looking at the euro dollar and you want to know, hey, you know, Tony, I'm trying to put this Fibonacci level on the euro dollar, and I don't know if I've got it quite right because the highs and the lows are all kind of messy. You know, there's slightly higher highs, slightly higher lows. Maybe the trend's not perfect. Ask me how I would do it and I'll show you. So it's a great way to go in and interact with me and have access to me throughout the day. I'm basically in there off and on all day, and it logs all the questions. You also get access to Trade Tracker Pro, which is for Ninja Trader. So those of you that have Ninja Trader 8, it doesn't have Fibonacci fans automatically on it. So this is a plugin, indicator, I guess, that you can go and you can add that to your NinjaTrader. Now, some of your platforms already have fans, and that's great, but that's what it does. It does not apply to NinjaTrader 7, unfortunately. I'm so sorry. I know it was something that was created within the last 2 years, so it wasn't retroactive to 7, but it works splendidly on 8, and you can even use it to trade based off of 2, so you can put your executions based on it too if you want to, and it includes ARCs as well for those of you that might trade Fibonacci ARCs too, so it has all of that on there. So, you know, this is your chance to really learn a lot more in depth from me at a price that, I mean, a single trade is going to pay for it, even if you're trading the micros in futures market. So go ahead, check out this offer. It's going to be available for the next 24 hours. So you got some time here to grab it this evening. Now, let me go back and look at some of the questions. Oh, Tushar, thank you. can I demonstrate how to draw a fib fan? So I don't have it installed on my NinjaTrader on this computer. This is not my trading computer, but let me show you how you would do it. I can go and show you some of my charts that I put them on here. Let me go over here. So we have another channel that I just post a lot of my stuff into here. So I'll go up and I'll show you some of these. Here you can see my executions from today on that trade that I was talking about on the NASDAQ. And as I scroll up, you'll see where I was first looking at it too. Let's see where I got. I throw in some funny stuff in there too, you guys. Here you can see that how I use those Fibonacci extensions to time those pivots too. So we're looking at a lot of stuff. So here's one of the Fibonacci fans. So basically what I'm doing is the first way I'll start the fan is I'll go from the low to the high that I'm looking at. And then if these early levels are hitting these earlier fan levels, that tells me I've got it at a pretty good level, that I'm at a gray space for that. And that's going to give me the additional support too. So ideally for a breakout here, this would have had a first pullback into the 61.8%. I don't have the numbers on here. Sorry, you guys. 61.8 base along there. And then it would have a more gradual pullback into that 76.4. And that would give me the trigger. So this didn't quite make it there, which meant the reaction off the 61.8, these prior highs become stronger resistance levels. So it also gives you an idea of how to use a time development. This was a trade I was in gold, but it gives you an idea for time development too. So that link, yes, I think David posted it in the chat channel, but it's Fibs Rock. So FIBSROCK. So TonyHanson.com/FibsRock. I'll post that again too. And David just did also. It is a one-time payment. You can put it on PayPal. Let's see here. Always I see my stops are executing when the market's going the other way. Is that some people can see our stops? Well, I mean, if your stop orders are on the books, you've got, you know, market makers and such. But a lot of it is that professional traders know where stops are placed, you guys. So if we're looking at something like, let me pull up one of these charts here. This is just the NASDAQ. So if I go to like a one, you know what, I'm going to pull up a tick chart here, a tick chart. So if you're going up and you're looking at a move to the upside here, they're knowing that this move here is a nice two-wave move up. And stops are probably going to be placed right above that high. So people that are shorting anywhere in this point, they're going to have their stop above that high. So it's very easy for them to determine, hey, we can flush that out there. That's where momentum comes into play, because if the momentum is already shifting at that high, when you go and take a short, they're not as likely to go back up and flush it. If this range is really tight and small, then yeah, they'll have a better chance of flushing it. But if it is a nice solid shift on a bigger time frame, you'll notice it's not flushing again up over here. So that is actually something that this course goes into. It's going to help you understand where those stops are, how to avoid them getting hit. Especially you can join me in. Another thing you can get is that if you join me on Fridays, I have a free session that's called Forward Focus, and you'll get information on that too as part of this and in Telegram. And we cover Forex every Friday. So I also show you live how these things are happening and what's most likely to happen next. I know curfews are just so tricky right now, someone. I'm surprised you're still awake. He's over there in Jordan. What time is it right now? I'm curious. I'm going to pull up one of your guys' other questions here. Well, he's answering me if he hears me. We're going to look at, let's see, some of you were wanting to know about the euro dollar. So I'll pull up the euro dollar. 2 a.m. Wow. At 4 p.m. Okay. 2 a.m. for those over in the Middle East. I actually love trading on the time zones over there. I usually travel over to Eastern Mediterranean every summer. Well, not the Mediterranean, actually. Turkey. So we're kind of over there. Greece, Turkey. It's up in the, what is that, Aegean Sea? I'm like out of geography right now. Wow. Okay, let's see here. Euro dollar. I'll pull up this daily time frame. Actually, I'm going to pull up the weekly. The euro dollar has been so tricky lately. Look over here, though. The same thing that we talked about in today's class. Look at this time development. This is a great example. So here's the time extension, low to low. So it first tries to trigger shorts too early. And then when it hits that 200% zone, it needs to be going at that point. And it's just going too slow. So it ends up shifting momentum here and pulling back up. So you really need that momentum picking up and breaking that lower trend channel and these lower lows around the same time that it's hitting that 200%. So it tells you, hey, this has gone out too far. It's more likely to fail and turn back around just like the NASDAQ did today. Now here, things have gotten really tricky. And, you know, I've been following this euro dollar here for the last couple of years in our forward focus sessions. And it's basically watch how the last momentum moves are playing out. And like here, for example, we had a nice two wave move down that triggered a buy. So this becomes a do or die point to try to break the channel on the upside. Well, look where that pulled back. It pulled back more than 50%. I know this is kind of small. Let me make this kind of bigger. So see this upside move here? Here's the two waves down, one and two, pulls up, and then this pulls back more than 50%. We don't want it to pull back more than 50%, do we? No. So the extension, it had a very hard time moving up. So ideally, if this is a really strong momentum move here, you don't want it to pull that back that far. The only way it would still be able to go higher and have pulled back at 50% is if what happened is it had kind of a slower two wave up, then a slower two wave like that. And then that's actually a very strong buy, but that didn't happen here. So as this is going forward, things have just kind of gotten even messier. And on the weekly time frame, there's not even a good strategy in here. So it comes down to looking at what's happening on the smaller time frames at this point. Each of these moves here where it's strong momentum is called an impulse wave. And you can get an idea for, hey, are you at a good spot to play continuation moves or not, depending upon where you're at in a current impulse wave compared to the past. So right now, you're at a pretty extended level compared to a lot of these, you know, past corrective moves. There is a little bit of an inverse head and shoulder here. So the timing development for that to try a head and shoulders is good, or inverse head and shoulders. But now you're at a very high risk zone for any new trades. I'd need to see some sort of momentum shift trying to happen again to give another trade in here. Right now, that shift is kind of a little bit more on the bearish side. 15 minute could go either or, because see how it's hugging in the lower 50% of this move? It's not really doing that shallow pattern I just told you about. Instead, it's hugging here. Here's one low. This would be what I consider the second low. It's coming into the third. So your spacing here to here and out gives you a do or die point where you're most likely to get some sort of reaction happening. You can also put your Fibonacci fans on from here to here. Line up that with a 76.4, and you would want that to hold that 76.4% fan over here too. Let's see. I'll take one more question here. I'm just going to scroll on up here. If you can't get tick charts, what's the nearest minute chart? Oh, I get this question all the time, and you know what? It's all relative, because what it might be like this week, it can be totally different from what it was 2 months ago. So like a 5 minute, for example, is pretty close to 1,000 tick chart on the ES right now, I think. I don't know. We were looking at those comparisons at some point this week, but they change all the time. And you don't have to have just the tick charts. All of these patterns are going to apply on time frame charts too. So that's actually something that's really interesting, because your time extensions are going to be totally different looking on a tick chart versus on a time frame chart. Both of them are equally valid, you guys. It doesn't matter if it's on the tick chart or the time frame chart. They are both going to matter just as much. So if one is lining up on one but not the other, that's okay. If neither of them are, that's not. No bueno. I usually use time frame charts more for gauging momentum. That is very important. People will watch momentum on tick charts, but it might look totally average on a tick chart and be really extreme on a time frame chart. So that is not something you want to fall into the trap of. Always look at a time frame chart for momentum. Always write that down. Always look at a time frame chart for momentum. So I lied. I said one more question, but I'm actually going to pull up the Kiwi here since I mentioned that earlier for you guys. David, you did tell me I could go over, right?
Yeah, you're the last presenter of the day. So yeah, you take as much time as you want.
Great. I'm going to get this Kiwi here pulled up and we'll take a look at that. And like I said, you guys, you sign up for that Fibonacci boot camp there, 14 hours. And you'll also have access to my forward focus every single Friday too, where we will be looking at the Forex markets. Usually I look at them on the larger intraday time frames up to the weekly time frames. So it can give you an idea of which way you want to really focus in terms of in terms of swing trades, but also how many good days of day trades you have before you've got to kind of increase your risk there. Thank you so much, Ori. Best presenter. Wow. You're making me blush here. All right, you guys. So here's the daily on the Kiwi. So let's put up some of those tools that we looked at here. So first off, look at this downside move, this continuation. So you've got your Fibonacci extension as a continuation here. But look at how the momentum picked up on this downside move here. It really picked up. So I used this correction here in the middle because it's the biggest correction of this entire move down. So that's really the first continuation. Over here, you have two smaller moves that you could use too for measured moves. So you can go to an intraday chart and kind of break it down from there on. You can even go down to that. So slower, faster. And that's when you want to go for more than just those 100% because you can get way, way, way more. So the next tool is our retracement. So we're just going to look at this entire move there. Now look at that, right smack into the 100%. Now here's something that a lot of traders are going to miss. See this move right here? Notice it doesn't stop at the 38.2. It doesn't stop at the 50%. It's not really at either one of those. But you know what it is doing? That correction, you cut that correction in half, it goes right through that 38.2. So this is really the 38.2 that is holding here. That's leading to that correction. It's just the momentum was stronger as it went into it. So it had more whiplash. It cuts right through the middle. Now this is slowing up into the 50%. So it's holding it almost perfectly. So that is telling me the slowdown here is a good zone to get a decent reaction off of it. You'll see some sort of, you know, move happening from that point. Now it's basically bouncing back and forth in here. This is something I call a zone of pain. And what that is it means that the market is in a level where it can come down to that last swing within the range that can give a trigger. So here's our three pivot highs. If this was going to go and do a strong breakdown, it should have confirmed here. So what this did instead is it shifted the momentum. So our momentum is going like this. So this is actually giving us more of a bullish bias at the moment. But this pattern that you guys see here, where it kind of tested like four times or five times, this is a higher risk trading environment right now in this. So you want to go down and focus more on the intraday swings. It wouldn't be something that would be as conducive for entering new position trades. They would be more of the swing trades and day trades, depending upon where you're at in these smaller impulse moves. So on this, when we're looking at continuation action, if this had a nice steady two-wave move up into here, this would be really pretty for a bullish breakout. But you can see it had some aberrations where it kind of went off track from that template. It had a higher push here, and then it had a slightly higher high here. The ideal template would look like what I drew in blue, and that would be a very strong buy. This would come into a 76.4% fan here. This would be a 61.8% fan here. You would be holding, not pulling back more than 50% on these corrections, and all of those would equal a really beautiful breakout for the upside. So we have it in there, but it's not perfect. That's going to create extra risk on the trades. Now you can go down and do advanced trade management where you're getting into these at tighter levels, keeping tighter stops and playing the same way that I did on the NASDAQ, so that even if something fails and turns around on you, you still have a really good gain on it. But you have to use advanced trade management, which means you're getting in earlier. You're basically getting it so that your prices are averaged down, like you're taking off gains and adding back, taking off gains and adding back in the early stages of a trend move. And this course does get into that to a degree too, and at the last portion of that course too. So you'll see that as well. I know it's really hard to go into so much detail because I spend weeks teaching advanced trade management. All right, you guys. So thank you so much for joining me here today. And if you have any questions at all, you can reach me at tony@tonyhanson.com. And the course is tonyhanson.com/FibsRock. So hopefully you have seen now how useful Fibonacci can really be without creating a lot of clutter on your charts. Just a few simple tools are going to give you a better edge than you would have if you weren't paying attention to them.